Frida Fertility aims to be couples' go-to brand for making trying a little less, well, trying. Their effective and science-backed products aid in conception, whether you've just started or have been at it for several months. Here's the thing, nobody teaches us how to get pregnant. So when it comes time to conceive, a lot of us just don't know what to do, where to go, and whom to trust for help. That's where Frida Fertility comes in. Their science-backed tools aid in conception, whether you've just started your trying journey or have been trying for several months. Developed with fertility specialists, Frida's at-home insemination set comfortably delivers sperm up to the cervix, no doctor needed. And the Frida Fertility ovulation test kit is a reimagined tracking and prediction system designed with the accuracy you need while trying to conceive. Again, Frida Fertility is designed to make trying a little less trying for couples trying to conceive. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, Target, and at select CVS near you.
Hey, what's up? It's Sam in Denver. And I think that the cultiest thing about Elon Musk is leaning into a misinterpreted fear of the actual purpose of the First Amendment in order to gain public approval to purchase a thought platform.
Hi, I'm Emma from Melbourne, Australia. I think the cultiest thing about Elon Musk is how men just absolutely worship him. I know so many people in their 20s and 30s that love everything he does on Twitter and all the podcast appearances he makes, and they don't even necessarily agree with all of his views, but they just love him as like a cult icon.
I think the cultiest thing about Elon Musk is the ways in which he's exalted as this sort of inevitability of positive capitalism, when in reality he's little more than the product of nepotism due to his family's participation in Blood Emerald Mines.
This is Sounds Like a Cult, a show about the modern day cults we all follow. I'm Issa Medina, and I'm a comedian.
I'm Amanda Montell, author of the book Cultish, The Language of Fanaticism.
Every week here on our show, we discuss a different fanatical fringe group that puts the cult in culture, from theater kids to flat earthers, to try and answer the big question. This group sounds like a cult, but is it really? To join our cult, follow us on Instagram at Sounds Like a Cult Pod.
I'm on Instagram at Issa Medina, Issa Medina.
And I'm over there on the cult of Instagram at Amanda_Montell. And feel free to hit us up on Patreon at patreon.com/soundslikeacult, where our episodes are available ad-free. We are both pretty expressive people, I would say.
Yeah, we are. I'm glad we have camera footage of this, but also then I have to like wear makeup and I'm like, wah.
Oh, that's true. I know. It was nice back in the good old days, the simple days of season one where we both looked like a toe every day.
Yeah. And like last week we recorded The Cult of Theater Kids and
on
we
your
did
bedroom
it on my
floor?
Bedroom floor. The good old days.
A throwback.
Yeah.
No. We like the good new days too.
Oh, no. We love
We're
the good
very
new
grateful
days.
To
we
be
love
here.
The good new days. I love it. There are snacks at the studio.
I just ate some string cheese.
Yeah, the other day there was a jelly donut.
Oh, my.
Remember I was like tearing it apart?
That's right. That's right. There was a cupcake in there I saw.
Ooh. I made brownies yesterday, so I'm good on sweets for now.
I see.
But you know who isn't? I don't know. Smooth transition.
Yeah, like, let's talk about the most gluttonous person alive.
Our friend Elon Musk.
Dun, dun, dun.
If that's even his real name.
Yeah. It is a silly ass name.
Right?
Elon Musk.
It sounds like an alien.
It sounds like a Pixar villain.
Yeah. I wonder if anyone has looked into that. Is that his real name?
The name is the least of his problems, I'm afraid. The least of his offenses. We decided to record this episode last minute in light of the news of Elon Musk buying Twitter for $44 billion.
Yeah, this is like, we are recording this like as the news came
is
out.
Breaking.
And $44 billion, like no regular human can even fathom how much money that
is. I was trying to fathom how much money it is, and I was like, okay, $44, I can imagine. I've held $44 in my hand. $44,000 is about how much money I made when I was like 25.
Yeah.
Now think of if every one of those $44,000 was $1 million, that's $44 billion.
Yeah, I can't. I can wrap my head around $44 million. Not like realistically, like I don't know what I would do with that money. But I watch Selling Sunset.
Me too.
I've seen a $20 million house. You know what I mean?
No, $44 billion. I mean, people have really bad instincts about what that amount of money looks like because ancient humans didn't survey things that were in the billions.
It is illegal for him to have this much money. Like, he's not paying taxes, that's for sure. You know all those articles of, like, self-made billionaires? Like, those people have $1 billion.
Right.
Just spent $44
billion. Yeah, he doesn't have $44 billion. That's the price of something that he bought.
Yeah. You know, like, after you go, like, shopping and you spend a lot of money and you spend money you shouldn't have?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, shit, I'm going to be eating eggs for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Elon Musk needs to be eating eggs for the rest of his life after shopping for Twitter.
I hope his cholesterol skyrockets. Yeah. But that's the thing, is that Elon Musk sort of ironically or something, like, lives in a tiny house, right?
Or he used to, and now he's couch surfing like a bohemian.
Bullshit. I'm going to call bullshit on that one.
Well, he's always trying to, like, put on what I interpret to be performance art, these stunts where it's like performative poverty. Like, tech people do
that. Yes, exactly. It's what I call fuck you money, because I've been working on that crypto doc for a while now. And it's like the founder of Ethereum, a cryptocurrency, he actually lives out of his backpack, Vitalik Buterin. He flies economy.
Yeah.
He's like the simplest man in the world. But Elon Musk is like trying to be that.
Yeah. It reminds me of those tech bros who will like party in abandoned warehouses outside of San Francisco just to like experience the earth and to like experience what it feels like to live outside the spaceship of Silicon Valley.
It's fake.
Yeah.
It's almost as fake as $44 billion.
100%. It's all so uncanny and apocalyptic. I just feel like back in the good old days of cults, if you didn't like a powerful institution, the government or what have you, you'd create this sort of like quaint, fringy little offshoot on a compound somewhere. And now in the uncanny world of the internet and late stage capitalism, if you don't like a powerful institution, in this case, Twitter, you fucking buy it.
Yeah, it's psychotic. It's like the shift of physical communities to online communities.
That's right.
And that's what shows that like he's such a cult of personality, because he doesn't give a fuck about free speech.
No.
He cares about his version of free speech.
That's right.
And he wants to buy it where everyone's already at. And there are so many examples to show that. He fired a Tesla employee, John Bernal, 6 days after he posted a YouTube video of a Tesla accident. There was another Tesla employee, a technician, Martin Tripp in Nevada, who blew the whistle on the company. And Musk allegedly hired people to hack and spy on him after he cast doubt on Tesla's environmental credentials. There was also the time that Tesla literally asked China to censor comments that were critical of the company. He's even tried to use Twitter itself to suppress worker speech and organizing, which was literally deemed illegal by the National Labor Relations Board. There's just so many times where, like, he literally has not cared about free speech and now he cares. BS.
Totally. It's like, what is a cult leader? It's somebody who is taking their interpretation of the Bible or some scripture, some ancient document, and saying, no, 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 everyone else has interpreted this wrong. I'm the first person to interpret this
right.
I will save you with my interpretation. And now I'm moving to this remote compound where we can all assemble around it. Elon Musk's assembly ground is Twitter, and that ancient document is the Constitution.
Yes, we should have seen the red flags when he got his first hair transplant, that he was like trying to be Jesus because he was too bald to begin with.
He's like, I don't have enough hair to lead a cult. Let's go into a little bit of background about who the fuck Elon Musk is. He's the world's richest man. We know that. He's this South African-born multi-billionaire who's known for these sort of high-profile, risky investments, not just one, but, you know, Tesla is the one he's most famous for, the electric cars, a company worth over $1 trillion. Dr. Evil Finger.
Yeah.
Look on YouTube to see it.
Yeah.
The New York Times once described him as at once a capitalist anti-hero, a glossy magazine celebrity, and a bomb-throwing troll. Which I think is pretty accurate.
Sometimes the New York Times just like hits it on the head.
They hit it on the head, but like 6 months after the thing happened.
I know, right? After he founded Tesla, he founded SpaceX, which is a private space travel company, because what are we going to do here on Earth? To clarify, he very much did not found most of the companies that he's famous for, like Tesla and PayPal. He just bought them from other people, and he's literally allowed everyone to think that he's a genius serial inventor instead of just a savvy rich tech bro. And then the Boring Company, which is like such an obnoxious name.
Totally.
Why didn't anyone give this kid attention when he was a child?
It's so cocky.
Yes. Wait, do you watch Succession?
Of course.
We're both in love with Nicholas Braun. If you're listening to this podcast, hit us up. But
start a cult. We'll be your sister wives.
Yeah. But it reminds me of Kendall when he threw his birthday party in season three.
Yes.
That is Elon Musk. It's like, give me attention. I'm so sad. But also I'm going to pretend that I'm like the most popular man on the planet.
Totally. Totally. I mean, colonizing Mars. Classic 70s era millenarian cult leader imagery has to do with sci-fi, space fantasy.
Yes. And also, something that really upsets me with the idea of colonizing Mars is that...
I can't believe this is a conversation we're having right now.
I know, but like, you know when like people colonized the West, they weren't thinking like of the environmental consequences, obviously, or like societal or any consequences at all. Elon Musk is like going out there into space, polluting space. Like,
totally.
We've polluted Earth and now we're polluting space.
I know. It's like, let's focus on remedying our little mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Like,
for $44 billion, he could have gotten everyone in the world two Teslas. I don't know if that math adds up. Two Teslas per person.
Oh, I completely believed you.
But I feel like he could have.
I bought it. Yeah. Well, and not only that, he could probably single-handedly solve climate change, world hunger.
Yeah.
And he claims to have environmental motivations by creating Tesla, but he puts his money where his mouth is.
Or where his ass is. Damn!
My name is Olivia and I'm from Colorado. I think the coldest thing about Elon Musk is the fact that he's had like three wives and like seven kids. Two of his kids are named X and Y.
I'm Charlie from Chicago. The coldest thing about Elon Musk is that if you point out that he has hair plugs, his fanboys will like fight you on the internet. The proof is in the pudding, babe. Look at the before and after.
Hi, Sounds Like a Cult Pod. This is Emma from Australia. I think the cultiest thing about Elon Musk is that he has a charismatic personality that a lot of people are drawn to just because he posts anime pictures and memes. Most of his technological solutions really only benefit him and increase his wealth rather than solving systemic problems.
So the cars weren't enough and the spaceships weren't enough. He also has this business, Neuralink, which is neurotechnology. He's trying to put brain chips in our brains. He's not just an entrepreneur, we should note.
That's very important to note because there was a shift in his position as like a CEO where he like has a Twitter, he has social media, and he has an online presence that a lot of businessmen just don't have. And I feel like the peak of that was when he hosted Saturday Night Live.
That's right. So there's this cult of personality that has formed around him in a way that feels a little unprecedented. He's not just this business leader, he's also this rock star.
Yeah.
And his SNL hosting gig, what was that even about?
I really don't know much money. Yeah, he must have paid SNL.
You think?
Because SNL historically does not put people on as hosts unless they're there to promote something. And what was he promoting?
His own platform. And he sucked. He was bad. He wasn't funny. But it got everyone talking.
It did. It got everyone talking. And I would not be surprised because here's the thing with public figures. They're always putting down crumbs. They're like everything you think might be natural. It's not.
It's strategic.
It's all strategic. So I wouldn't be surprised that he's been wanting to buy Twitter. And Saturday Night Live was like his first step into like the foray of like, is that the right word?
Yeah.
His first like step into like a larger foray of like public figurehood where he was like, okay, I'm gonna start getting my name in the zeitgeist even more than it already was. And then he later started being like, I kind of want to buy Twitter. He did the same thing with cryptocurrencies, like where he like talked about Dogecoin after he bought it and then it skyrocketed and obviously he made millions of dollars. So like everything he does is strategic, and I fucking hate him. I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
Is that how I should summarize that sentence?
And in conclusion, in summary, I hate him. He has totally occupied this cult leader space that we've described before, where a cult leader, it's not just enough to them to, you know, stay in their lane, to become massively wealthy as a business leader, or to, you know, just be a pastor, or to just be a self-help mentor. They want to occupy every corner of your life. And so, yes, he is this entrepreneur, and he has become this celebrity, but also an influencer and also a spiritual leader of sorts, because he claims to have these answers that will save humanity. And he's a person that people singularly trust, that his most rabid fans get on this high horse morally to think like Elon Musk and only Elon Musk will catapult humanity into the future.
Yeah. Have you ever had a conversation with an Elon Musk fan before?
Thank God, no.
Yeah, you are in a great world, because let me tell you, I have. It was with a male friend. And of course,
I keep those to a minimum. Yeah.
No, we were literally on a ski lift, so I was stuck. I was like, I cannot physically get out of this conversation.
You know how like evangelical missionaries, they'll become like nail technicians so that they can force people who cannot move because they're getting their nails
wait,
done
I didn't know
to
that.
Listen about the gospel of Jesus. It's like Elon Musk stands, they're told like, you got to get someone on a ski lift.
Yeah. I bet you that was like his strategy, because I was like trying to like argue all the things that like Elon Musk is like obnoxious for and problematic for. I really don't know what took over me. I think it was like the fresh mountain air made me high, and I was like this and that, and my friend just came back with like excuse after excuse. And it's these men that follow him that are often libertarian.
Yeah, they are. So let's talk about his cult of personality and his fanatical following, which he feeds into a little bit more. So he has over 80 million Twitter followers, mm-hmm. which like it's no accident that he wanted to buy Twitter, because that's where his following is. That's where he has the most power. And his most fanatical fans fit this description that you're mentioning. They're largely these like white millennial political centrists or libertarian types who harbor this grave mistrust of the media that he feeds into.
Yeah, they're these men who like don't stand for anything other than Elon Musk. And by not standing for anything, they essentially stand for chaos. It's like those people who are like, when you're having an argument with them, they're like, and so what? So what? They want to push your buttons.
They are that classic devil's advocate stereotype. People think of Elon Musk stans, or even fans in general, as people who attack whatever they see as a threat to him. They'll harass people who criticize him. And there is that faction of fans. But I actually think that what connects all Elon Musk stans is not harassment. It's this inherent mistrust of everything but Elon.
Yeah.
It is not feeling beholden to any given ideology. And it is this like adherence to some vague idea of logic and truth, while at the same time profoundly mistrusting every source of information and truth.
Yeah, it honestly like it makes my mind want to explode.
Yeah.
They don't believe anything, like you're just saying. They don't believe anything unless Elon Musk says it.
Yeah.
But then even the things that Elon Musk says, like when he was like kind of anti-COVID vibes, like they believe that, they'll just change their mind about anything as soon as Elon Musk agrees with it.
That's right. It's like they start with the conclusion, they work backwards to find an argument, and the conclusion is always Elon Musk is right.
There was a moment where Elon Musk reached out to the UN and was like, if you guys give me a budget of how much money it would cost to solve world hunger, I'll give it to you. And the United Nations gave him that budget breakdown, and he said that he actually changed his mind and he didn't want to spend the money on solving world hunger. And instead, he bought Twitter for $44 billion.
And that is classic cult leader red flag, is when like the ideology is not really what people are after.
Yeah.
It's that sense of community. It's that sense of faith in this leader who is going to see us toward salvation. And so they like don't feel beholden to any ideology or any belief system at all. They just reject everything except for Musk.
Yeah.
And that line of thinking becomes super problematic in this sort of post-truth, post-Trump era that's so full of conspiracy theories, because whatever Elon Musk says goes.
Yeah, and I think he's done such a good job of being relatable, even though he's the least relatable person on the planet.
Which reminds me of Trump, too.
Yeah, it's all these people who follow him online in this like different online internet universe. They think that Elon is their friend.
Yes.
They think that he would do anything for them and that he would let them in their secret club if there was one.
Totally.
And so that's like so cult leader vibes.
It's especially upsetting because it's parasocial, you know, like in the People's Temple, Jonestown, for example. Yes, like Jim Jones only stood for Jim Jones. Jim Jones only cared about Jim Jones. But you did have an in-person relationship with him.
Mm.
These 80 million people don't each have a personal relationship with Elon Musk.
They
They're creating
don't.
It in their head.
They are. And I think Elon feeds into it by responding every once in a while. to a random person.
Yes.
He'll every once in a while like a random person's tweet. And so everyone's like, oh my God, he's just like us.
Yeah.
He's reading our tweets.
Yep.
He's engaging with us. Yes. He cares about us. And before you know it, you're in fucking Mars with Elon Musk. And you don't know how to get back.
And I gotta tell you, I watch a lot of space videos on YouTube in my free time. Mars, not a lot of oxygen. It's not great up there. I found this like amazing article in The Verge that was analyzing his following. And I loved a lot of the points that it made. One of them, a language point, of course, I always gravitate toward those. His super fans were very vehement about communicating that they were not fans, they're followers.
Yeah.
They thought that that sounded more level headed. But I was just like, no, you're just telling on yourself as a member of a cult.
Yeah.
By saying that you're a follower and not a fan.
Yeah, that literally means that you would follow him anywhere. Yes. That means like you would walk behind him.
And it is true that like the fact that social media participants on Twitter and Instagram are called followers. That's what the app labeled us. Like, we are followers.
Yeah.
And that sort of blurs the boundaries between, it's like, are we following casually or are we following in a cult leader way?
Yeah. That's such an important distinction to make between like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Is that was, I feel like, the big transition between influential figures becoming a thing, is that on Facebook you add someone as a friend, you're mutuals,
they're called your friend. Mm-hmm. And on apps like Twitter and Instagram, they are your followers.
Yeah.
But Elon Musk stans have another name too. They're called musketeers.
Okay, that's kind of cute, but only because like musketeers are cute.
I know, like the three musketeers bar.
If I met someone out and they were like, and I'm assuming it would be a dude, because if a woman stood for Elon Musk, I would be like,
What are
you okay?
I know, like what an incredible violation.
Yeah.
What a betrayal.
It would be a betrayal, but I would hear her out.
Because
she deserves it.
They do exist. We're going to tell a story a little bit later of a female Elon Musk extreme musketeer. But yeah, I mean, these musketeers are these zealots who can be found all over the world. And their passion is more on the level of mega church members than, you know, fans of a tech mogul.
Yeah. And they come to his defense with no one asking them to. Like, there was a tweet from this, I think, female musketeer, RIP, saying, if Elon Musk wants to spend $44 billion on Twitter, that's up to him. If you want him to spend his $44 billion on something else, go make $44 billion yourself and spend it on that thing. Yeah, let me just really quickly go make $44 billion.
Such good advice. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
My only problem is I don't have the chutzpah or the tenacity to go off and make $44 billion. Thank you for that.
It's psychotic.
This is Alice, and I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I would say the cultiest thing about Elon Musk is how he controls the stock market. The second he tweets about some stock, everyone buys it, and it's, you know, price skyrockets, and it's maddening how he can just say one thing and suddenly everyone wants that stock.
What's culty about Elon Musk? So, so much. I lived in South Africa for years, and he's put on an absolute pedestal of a prodigal son. But he left when he was 17. So if you think the hype is bad in the US, in South Africa, it's on steroids.
These Elon Musk stans are up on a moral high horse, but they're married to some concept of ground truth that they can't even define.
I think the reason a lot of them are so self-righteous is because Elon Musk started as a businessman, and he started as a businessman in like tech and science and like the STEM field.
Right.
Then people think that by relating to him, they're attached to like logic.
Yes.
By association.
That's right.
And they're not, because Elon Musk didn't do the science. He wasn't in the lab making the Tesla.
Totally.
He himself is not a genius.
And this is something that I have seen. It's a through line with cult leaders, is that they will use science and scientific terminology and sort of bastardize it and co-opt it to suggest that they're actually tapped into a power higher than science.
Yeah, it reminds me of like when people online make like really beautiful graphics And just because the graphics are pretty, like all of a sudden you're an authority on that subject.
100%.
Elon Musk is like the male tech version of that. He just made like a pretty company.
Yes.
And like marketed it well. And so people were like, oh, this is like so legit.
It is the delivery rather than the content for sure. And, you know, he's been in Silicon Valley for a long time and he knows how to market his ideas. He knows how to get people to believe in them.
It kind of touches on like what we were talking about with Elizabeth Holmes. It feels like in the tech space, there's so few people that have the ability to be personable that when you do find that one diamond in the rough, they have so much power.
Yes.
Because not only are they in the tech space, but they also have the ability to like connect with people on a one-on-one level.
That's right. And that is like what we were talking about in the Elizabeth Holmes episode. That is kind of the definition of charisma. And part of Elon Musk's charisma is directly tied to Twitter. It is this sort of internet playfulness that sets him apart from stodgier authority figures. You know, he has like all these ridiculous, irreverent tweets. I mean, I think we should read more of them.
Definitely. And also, I would like to note that currently his profile picture is like an annoying picture of him in sunglasses where like you would never see like a CEO that casually.
Oh my God.
But he's trying so hard to be like memeable.
Yes. And he knows just how.
I mean, just look at how he's leaned into his completely false self-made narrative. He's not self-made. Actually, his mom, I've met her. She's one of the poshest people I've ever met in my life. I once interviewed her about her beauty routine for my old magazine job, Mae Musk. Think about it. Interviewing the mother of a tech CEO about her beauty routine, that is cult-followed celebrity status.
He tweeted in October of 2021, "I'm thinking of starting a new university, Texas Institute of Technology and Science. It will have epic merch, universally admired. Tuition is in Dogecoin and you get a discount if you have a dog."
That's so annoying because obviously he's like being sarcastic, but as a public figure and CEO and billionaire, like he is capable of doing those things, so he might not be kidding.
Literally.
Frida Fertility aims to be couples' go-to brand for making trying a little less, well, trying. Their effective and science-backed products aid in conception, whether you've just started or have been at it for several months. Here's the thing, nobody teaches us how to get pregnant, so when it comes time to conceive, a lot of us just don't know what to do, where to go, and whom to trust for help. That's where Frida Fertility comes in. Their science-backed tools aid in conception, whether you've just started your trying journey or have been trying for several months. Developed with fertility specialists, Frida's at-home insemination set comfortably delivers sperm up to the cervix, no doctor needed. And the Frida Fertility Ovulation Test Kit is a reimagined tracking and prediction system designed with the accuracy you need while trying to conceive. Again, Frida Fertility is designed to make trying a little less trying for couples trying to conceive. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, Target, and at select CVS near you. I am so giddy to tell you about my absolute favorite iPhone game of late. It's called June's Journey. If you like mystery games that are really easy to play and very aesthetic to look at, then you have got to check this one out. June's Journey is basically a hidden object mystery game where you're solving this detective story centering on a protagonist named June who's living in the 1920s, so very glamorous. She has to travel back to her family's island estate to solve the mystery of who murdered her sister. And my favorite part of the game is that as you find these different clues and help solve the crime, you get to decorate the island estate with various pieces of furniture and other accoutrements. It is so relaxing to play when you kind of just need to switch off your brain. And I'm pretty bad at iPhone games and video games in general, and I can still enjoy it. So I really think you'll love it. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Last week on April 27th, right after he bought Twitter, he tweeted, "Next I'm buying Coca-Cola to put the cocaine back in." Like, that's, first of all, not funny. And if it was, it would be funny because it's impossible, but he can literally buy Coca-Cola if he wanted to.
Like, is it ironic? It's unfiltered. And people mistake sort of like unfiltered brazenness with truth telling.
Yeah.
That happened with Trump too. Like he would just seem, so filterless.
Yeah.
And so like tell it like it is. But he wasn't telling it like it is. He was just telling it boldly
and
as
unafraid
he saw
of
it.
Consequences.
Exactly.
In May of 2020, when Tesla stock was like peaking. He tweeted, Tesla stock price is too high, IMO, like, in my opinion, which is, like, not funny or whatever, but it's, like, for a CEO to right. say something like that, like, he's trying so hard to be relatable.
Totally. It's this casualness. I mean, the fact that he, like, smoked weed on Joe Rogan, it's strategic, like you were saying. It all just contributes to this cult-like status.
And I think that's something that, like, not just his followers, but anyone who, like, follows, like, public figures, we need to keep in mind, like, public figures, there's, like, no organic moment. Yeah. Like I mentioned, like, there really isn't. And so people, like, need to ingrain that in their head that, like, if you're going to play into this, like, fallacy that, like, this person is perfect and, like, you're idolizing them for just being themselves, then you need to understand that you don't know.
You're just buying into the narrative yeah. that they've crafted on yeah. purpose.
And that might sound a little conspiratorial, but at least the most sort of successful public icons are as famous and cult followed as they are because of their ability to manipulate. And sometimes that manipulation is mostly harmless and sometimes it's not.
Exactly. You're believing them for the caricature that they are playing of themselves. You don't actually know them. And I feel like sometimes stans need to be reminded of that.
Can we tell the story of this extreme fan?
Yes.
Because it's pretty telling to me. In this Verge article, I read about a woman named Selena Marie Gomez who actually attempted to take her own life. And as she was sitting in the hospital, she told this publication that watching Elon Musk interviews and reading his tweets was the only thing that brought her hope. She said, that was the only thing that was giving me hope, you know, to keep going. I realized this is why I haven't made a whole lot of progress with my own career, my own endeavors, because I haven't been seeing the whole picture. I've just been seeing what humanity has done wrong and not what we've been doing right. So she was sort of seeing him as this Christ-like savior.
That sounds like someone who is in a cult,
dude.
That literally sounds like a quote from Nixium.
Mm.
Like, it sounds like someone who is blaming the world for their problems and now only sees this one person or this one avenue as their solution.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I wonder, did it say in the article how she became a fan of him? Because I think that, like, through the cult of YouTube, a lot of people fall down these, like, rabbit holes of watching a personality and, like, speak or at public events or just, like, these fan videos even.
Yes.
And then you get into this, like, black hole of only seeing that person.
Well, right, because the algorithm is feeding you what you're engaging with most. I don't remember exactly how she discovered Elon Musk or became a fan, but at one point she did turn on notifications for his tweets. So she was almost like signing up for the next level of cult affiliation.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm ready to be served his gospel whenever he says it.
That's insane. And also she could probably turn on, like, Google alerts, you know,
yep.
and then just fall even further.
And then she was kind of imbued with this sense of elitism and purpose. She described Musk fans as unafraid of what's going on with the world. She believes Musk is making our planet a better place, that his detractors are just consumers who don't want to be inconvenienced, and that journalists cherry pick stories expressly to piss him off. And then, of course, as we were saying, like, convincing your followers to mistrust journalists is a classic cult through line that we've seen
yeah.
from Jim Jones to everyone else.
I think the scary thing about the cult of Elon Musk is how easy it is to do things like turn on your notifications.
Yes.
How accessible it is.
Totally.
So she didn't even know she was being indoctrinated at the time. You know, it's like you just turn on one more level of notification.
That's right.
And before you know it, you're being pinged 3-5 times a day.
Yep.
Then a week has gone by and then you're like 6 months into being pinged on a man's thoughts consistently.
Yep. And you're like, I'm not shaving my head, I'm not moving anywhere, I'm just sitting at home on my couch.
Yeah.
But that's how cults like QAnon are able to radicalize and cause material violence. I mean, Elon Musk has caused harm.
Yeah.
I mean, we should talk about some of his controversies that whenever anyone brings them up, his most extreme followers will, like, completely dismiss.
Yeah, let's get into those.
Hi, this is Rachel from Philadelphia, and the cultiest thing about Elon Musk is his followers and how quick they are to defend their idealized version of him, regardless of how fascist his actions are becoming.
My name is Caitlin, and I'm calling from Chicago. I think the cultiest thing about Elon Musk is his ability as the leader of a technology company to extract money from consumers without a tangible product or even a finite promise of ever receiving that product.
My name's Desiree and I'm from Michigan, and I think the most culty thing about Elon Musk is the fact that it's you're either 100% with him or you're 100% without him. Like, you either love him or you hate him, and if you can't be halfway in between, because people will tear you up for it.
It's scary because these people are slowly being indoctrinated, but then what comes next? Like, what are they believing that's problematic?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't talk about how problematic Elon Musk is. I mean, yeah. He didn't believe in COVID. He tweeted about it.
He was very dismissive of it.
He was very dismissive of COVID. And so all of a sudden his 80 million followers could be dismissive of it as well.
Totally.
That's a public health issue.
Yes.
It's been reported that he has poor treatment of his factory workers. There's been injuries in Tesla factories. There's also been issues with autopilot on a lot of Teslas. I know a couple people personally whose autopilots just kind of like spasmed and they got into accidents.
Oh, wow.
But they were like paid out by the company. Mm. And you don't see that a lot in the public.
Yeah, he doesn't fulfill a lot of his promises. He's also extremely anti-union. I mean, these are the things that people will bring up by way of valid criticism, only to be shot down by his most rabid followers, who do so behind a screen, who do so anonymously, who don't want anyone to know exactly who they are. And, you know, like, literally by definition, by the nature of this fandom, you couldn't meet them or have a dialogue face to face with them, even if you tried. And that's an enemy to dialogue. That is a breeding ground for cultishness when you're not even open to showing your face and connecting to outsiders genuinely.
Yeah, it's like when you're trying to have a conversation with someone about something and they just shut you down.
Yes.
A lot of what I hear when I've talked to friends that are fans of Elon Musk is that when you say, oh, like, why is he going into space and saving space instead of saving the planet? We need to say, like, that's one of my biggest arguments. I'm like, why is he spending so much time and money on all these other things when we still have like hunger and injustices on our earth?
Yeah.
And a lot of their arguments is he doesn't owe you anything.
Right.
He doesn't owe anyone anything. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you still didn't answer my question.
The conversation ends there. And I talk about this in my work, but that's called a thought terminating cliche.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of catchy stock expression that ends independent thinking or questioning, that ends a conversation from moving forward, that ends scrutiny, and it's a classic cult leader tactic.
Would you say that now that he bought an application that is used by so many people, he kind of does owe people something? Because, like,
yeah,
they're using his app, which is like supporting his now new business.
Right.
So it's kind of like an online democracy in a way. And it's like, once you get into the public space so deeply the way he has, you kind of do owe people something.
He totally does. I think it's a public responsibility,
yeah,
to think of the humans who are being affected by your lofty, grandiose, selfish business endeavors.
Yeah.
And I'm not confident that he's going to keep those people in mind.
My fear, if the Twitter deal goes through, which it still might not, by the way, is that Twitter is just going to become this cesspool echo chamber reflected in his image. And I'm not even on Twitter. Like, I have no dog in this fight, except I do, because it is a platform where so much important information, false and otherwise, is spread.
And I think another question is, like, the word owe. I feel like that's a word that, like, we shouldn't even, like, use, because, like, yeah, obviously no one owes anyone anything, but it's like,
when you said owe, I thought you were saying O-H.
Oh.
Like, oh.
The word owe.
I thought you were saying, like, someone would question an Elon Musk stan or a musketeer or whatever, and they would just be like, oh.
That would actually be the perfect way of arguing with an Elon Musketeer.
That is such a trolly shitposty thing to do, is just be like, oh.
Oh, I hate you. Yeah. No, but like, he,
I'm dead.
Yeah, no one owes anyone anything. So my thing is, like, let's move beyond that and think, like, what should we do for each other?
What's the moral thing to
do? Exactly.
Okay, like, maybe we're not breaking any laws here, but what is the ethical thing to do?
Yeah.
And I think he is ethically sketchy at best. And here's the thing, too, is that, like, we're living in a time of information overflow, mm-hmm. of constant apocalyptic seeming news. And so, of course, people are going to want to and be eager to blindly trust someone who is as singular and charismatic as Elon Musk. And the fact that he just bought Twitter is only like fueling that charismatic, all-knowing leader role.
Yeah. Twitter's original co-founder, Jack Dorsey, is a public figure only because he became famous when he co-founded Twitter.
Right.
But even he only has like 6.3 million followers.
Oh, and I don't know that name.
Exactly. You don't know that name. You don't hear about that name because he isn't trying to become...
to take over the world.
Exactly.
And the solar system, actually.
I know. And like, I guess there's not much more to say other than like, he also just... Elon also just like looks evil. I don't know if that's like a... I don't think that I can't say that's like a scientific point, but like he looks evil.
He does. They're, I mean, instincts are valid. And if you look at someone and think they look evil, I'm not going to invalidate that.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if we can like put up a little picture, go on our YouTube to see this graphic. Pre-hair transplant, post-hair transplant.
I can't tell what looks more evil.
Yeah.
Before we sign off, I want to mention that there are people who have defected from the Elon cult, who've sort of like seen the light and decided to distance themselves from him. There was this former fan named Andrew Sanders who said, when I first learned about him, he was building a future that I'd only ever read about. And like, that was inspiring. Now, he's self-evidently a thin-skinned racist buffoon who's high on his own farts. His behavior is such that not only do I no longer like him, I'm ashamed for ever having liked him in the first place. He's constantly name-searching himself and replying to everyone with even the most casual criticism of him, blocking people and not appearing to care when his followers start to dogpile people. So, well,
at least someone saw the light.
Yeah, so I think it is possible to sort of like come to your senses and engage with this person's work, to maybe even admire some of his work, but yeah, not be in the full-blown cult.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think that Tesla is a great company. I think that like they have normalized like electric cars, which is so important for the environment.
And glamorized them.
And glamorized them.
Because the, before there was just a fucking piece of shit Prius,
so
like,
ugly.
When I drive.
Which is like how I feel about like ugly furniture. I'm like, why is it ugly? Why can't we just make cute, affordable furniture?
Oh, that's so great. That's like when we talk about possibly doing the cult of IKEA, people yeah. are just like, but my question is, why is it all so ugly?
Yeah, I'm like, let's move on.
Okay, so Isa, out of the three cult categories, live your life, watch your back, and get the fuck out. What do you think about the cult of Elon Musk?
Well, we touched a little bit on Elon Musk in the episode of Celebrity Stan.
That's true. Go back and listen. That was our, like, what, third episode ever?
Yeah, we talked about Beyonce, Taylor Swift, and Elon Musk.
And a little bit of Ariana.
And a little bit of Ariana.
A little bit of Demi.
Yeah, and I remember that one of the key points was that kept Ariana and Taylor and Beyonce kind of, like, out of the...
Get the fuck out
level was that they didn't feed into their fans, especially their toxic ones.
Yeah.
But it feels like Elon Musk is literally only doing that, especially as of late. He's feeding into this toxicity and this like follow me culture, follow me to the freaking moon.
And beyond.
And beyond. And once he got on SNL, I thought it was a get the fuck out.
Game over. Yeah. I mean, Taylor Swift, no doubt, also like feeds into her fandom, but the stakes are just a million times lower.
Yeah. Taylor Swift isn't going to space.
No. The stakes are just so much lower. And I think the stakes are so high here that it's got to be a get the fuck out.
Yeah.
If you're...
I love when we agree.
Oh, I love that too. Oh, we're really connected.
Yeah.
And all of what we discussed today didn't even touch on his personal life. He has, what, 8 kids actually on the books? It's like he's trying to secretly overpopulate the Earth with his offspring and name them all after robots, of course. God, it's just no matter what angle you look at him from, the dude truly is not of this planet.
If you're listening to this and you're an Elon Musk stan, please get the fuck out.
Yeah, like we don't have to fucking banish the guy to Siberia, but if you stan Elon... get the fuck out.
Yeah, like we don't want to be saying I told you so in 5 years when you're on Mars. Like that's not a win-win.
Although my favorite emotion is smugness.
Yeah. But it's like, it's sad. We'll be sad for you.
Totally.
So just get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. That's our show. Thank you so much for listening.
We'll be back with a new cult next week.
But in the meantime,
stay culty.
But not too culty.
Sound.
Sounds Like a Cult is created, hosted, and produced by Amanda Montell and Issa Medina. Kate Elizabeth is our editor. Our podcast studio is All Things Comedy, and our theme music is by Casey Kolb. Thank you to our intern / production assistant, Noemi Griffin. Subscribe to Sounds Like a Cult wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And if you like our show, feel free to give us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/soundslikeacult. Come and join me for the cultiest event of the season. Oh, hey, it Sounds Like a Cult host Amanda here to invite you this April to New York, Boston, and Philly, where I'm putting on a culty variety show that you are not going to want to miss. This show, cult gathering extravaganza, features guest appearances from the cult-followed podcasters behind Normal Gossip, Petty Crimes, Love Letters, and Strange Customs, plus drag burlesque performances, a musical guest, exclusive merch, a meet and greet, and more. And this just in, for the New York event, use the code CULTMAGIC, no spaces, at checkout for 10% off your ticket. A copy of my new book is also included in the price. It's going to be a hootenanny. Recruit your friends. Ticket links can be found at the link in our Instagram bio at Sounds Like a Cult Pod or on our website, soundslikeacult.com.